Thank you, Greg and team. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Welcome today to our first service here at the First Colony Church of Christ and on this Missions Sunday. But before we get into what I have to say, many of you may know her as Betty's mom or Maudra's mom or Shirley's mom, but today is Bessie Thompson's 95th birthday. Bessie, would you mind standing up and let us celebrate with you today and congratulate you? 95 years young. I think that's fantastic. That's beautiful. I'll tell you what a disciple maketh. What a disciple-making legacy she has, and that's wonderful. Well, there are some things in life too important not to share, and at the very top of that list is the good news of God's grace. And today on Mission Sunday, you see, as you were walking in, you saw a lot of flags. You see a number of flags up here and a lot of photos, and those flags and photos represent more than just places on a map. They represent people. They represent souls. They represent opportunities. They represent obligations that we have as a church family and that we are pleased to accept. Well, here for the next few moments, I'd like to walk through three or four scriptures that are apropos for the morning. And here's the first one. It comes from the New Testament, one of the last phrases, some of the last recorded words of Jesus before he ascended back to heaven, typically referred to as the Great Commission, and there are five recordings of the Great Commission in the New Testament, and here's one from the Gospel of Matthew, and let's just sort of walk through it and highlight a few things. And Scott, let's leave it here on this screen for just a moment. Then Jesus came to them and he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Now, before we read on, I want you to go back to that very first statement out of verse 18. Then Jesus came to them. Who's them? Obviously, them would be his very first disciples. But what I want you to note is that Jesus trusted some very ordinary people with this assignment of taking the good news message out. He trusted ordinary people just like you and me. They were extremely ordinary. Most of them were from the most unimpressive region of Galilee. Now, please do not mishear me. God certainly has a place in his kingdom for people with very impressive resumes. And some of you have very impressive resumes. But availability often trumps ability. And these were people who were simply available. They were very ordinary. And get this, they were also quite imperfect. And I'm not just talking about Judas who had defected. Yes, one of the 12 had defected. That was not telling necessarily on Jesus. That wasn't telling to the group. But you know it had to be demoralizing and disheartening to some degree to have this defection. Well, I'm not talking about the imperfection of Judas. I'm talking about the group that was still there. Jesus is working through ordinary, imperfect people. And if we're going to wait for God to do his work through folks without flaws, we'll wait till Jesus comes back, because the only kind of people he can use are people who are imperfect and in process. But listen, as long as the dominant thrust of your life is surrender to Christ, as long as the dominant thrust of your life is obedience, God can use you. And Jesus is saying to these ordinary, imperfect people that following me, says Jesus, is for all cultures, it's for all cultures, it's for all people in every culture. And so he says to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. It's interesting, isn't it, that the church is really, as far as, you know, just off the top of my head here, I think the church is the only institution that really exists partly for the benefit of its non-members. And whenever we start to think about the church as, well, this is my club, and I guess I've been here long enough now that this is just sort of my club, well, we misunderstand our assignment from Christ. Warren Wiersbe tells a story of a church that had a neon sign out front. You know, that never happened in First Colony, obviously, but you know, some churches can have neon signs. And this one particular church had a neon sign, and it read, Jesus only. The problem was the first three letters in that sign burned out, but they just kept running it, us only, us only. And we chuckle and we say, oh, no church would ever think that way. I've thought that way. And so we hear the words from Jesus afresh. Don't get introverted. You exist to introduce people to Jesus, and then after introducing them to Jesus, help them get better acquainted with Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, notice this last phrase, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And that is a promise that has undergirded and encouraged so many Christians and so many Christian workers over the years. No matter where you go, and no matter what you do for Jesus, he says, when you partner with me in my mission, I'm there with you. I'm for you. I will sustain you. I will never let you go. And I'm going to be with you no matter what comes. I'm building my church, says Jesus, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. And you know what? It's interesting to me what God's doing right now all around. We talk about going, making disciples of all nations. It's interesting to me what God's doing right now all over the world. Did you know that half of all Christians who have ever lived are alive right now? Half of all Christians who have ever lived are alive right now. In 1900... Africa had 10 million Christians. That's about 10% of their population. In the year 2000, the number of Christians in Africa was 360 million, about half the population of the continent. The number of practicing Christians in China is approaching the number here in the United States. Last Sunday, more Christian believers attended church in China than in all of so-called Christian Europe. Last Sunday, more Presbyterians were in church in Ghana than in Scotland. This past week in Great Britain, at least 15,000 Christian foreign missionaries were at work evangelizing locals in Great Britain, and most of those missionaries were from Africa and Asia. The largest church on the European continent is in the Ukraine, and their pastor is Nigeria. God's doing some amazing things. Here's another scripture. It's from John 21. This is where we get to eavesdrop in on a little conversation between Jesus and Peter. And Jesus says, you know, this is after Peter's great failure. But listen, even you may have failed greatly, but Christ can forgive magnificently. And after forgiving you, he doesn't just forgive you and say, now sit over here in the penalty box. He forgives, and then he gives an assignment for you to be useful. And that's what he does for Peter. Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, well, yes. And then Jesus says, then feed my sheep. The world, according to Jesus, is just full of sheep. And Jesus says to Peter and all of us, you cannot separate love for me from passion for people. It's all about the sheep, Peter. You want to express your love for me? Then love people. And as you read the New Testament, get this now, listen carefully. The most predominant way in the New Testament that Christians express love for God is by loving the people who matter so much to Him. Now, disciple making is certainly global, but it's also local. We start right here, feeding sheep, caring for God's sheep. And one of the most evangelistic ministries in our church, I believe, is the ministry to children right here. Because most, now not all, but most people who are Christians started their faith journey when they were younger. I'd like for you to give your attention here for just a moment to our video screens. This past week, Eric Fridge sat down with Mark Mize, and he got Mark's take on why he and his wife, Heather, get so much fulfillment out of their service to children right here as a result of this church ministry and our Christian school ministry.
The reason that both myself and my wife take time out of our schedules and allocate whatever time is needed out of our schedules to participate in activities here at the church, Cornerstone Christian Academy, is not only the fact that that is an investment that we're making in our children, but if you really just get back to leading a Christian life, it's just part of the lifestyle, and it's an approach that I would say my wife and I have always had the heart for, but I do think also that this church does a really tremendous job, providing opportunities to Honduras that can be helping out with the effort that the church has in Haiti. But we want to be sure that we do not lose sight of opportunities right here at our church in Sugar Land that can be helping or teaching one of the Bible studies, getting involved with some of the other ministry opportunities that are here. But the main thing is to have a positive impact on somebody's life.
And I'd like to thank Mark and Heather and the rest of you who volunteer and give your time to feeding God's sheep right here in a spiritual way, whether you're teaching children or caring for a small group or teaching ladies in ladies' ministry or on a Sunday or a Wednesday, whatever you do to bless and encourage God's people locally, thank you for your service and your ministry. I'd like to turn to a scripture now out of the book of Colossians, and I really love and appreciate this scripture because it highlights just how an average believer like us can point others to faith in Christ. Because you see, every single day you carry something very powerful with you, and it's your influence. Your influence is significant. And so how can an ordinary Christian then wield his influence, wield her influence for the cause of Christ? Well, out of the book of Colossians chapter 4, the Bible says this. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, notice this, that God may open a door for our message. You ever tried to push something through a closed door? It just doesn't work. You try to push something through a closed door and something's going to get hurt or someone's going to get hurt. And it's just frustrating. When the door is closed and you're trying to get something, it just doesn't work. And so Paul says, what we need to do is make sure that we pray, God, here in my work, would you open a door? Here in my school, would you open a door? Here in our county, would you open a door? Lord, because if you don't open a door, things are just frustrating. But if you'll open a door in my office, I'm willing to be your ambassador. So would you use me? And rather than the door being closed, God, would you open a door? And then he goes on and he says, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And then he says, verse 4, pray that I'll proclaim it clearly as I should. God, help me just to be clear, not clever. I don't really have to be clever, but very clear in talking to someone about the love of Christ and what that means to me. Nothing more, nothing less. Just, I want to be very clear as I have an open door. And then he challenges the church, and I love this, to be very wise in the way you treat outsiders, the way you treat people who are outside the circle of faith. They may be very far away from that circle. They may be close to the circle, but they would right now be an outsider. They're just outside the circle of faith. And he says, be wise. Just here's what you do. How do you wield your influence? Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. When you are the only Christian in your accounting department, when you are the only Christian in your marketing department, what's your role? Answer, be wise. Be wise in what you say. Be wise in how you treat people. Be wise in how you serve. Be wise in how you react, because others are watching you and you can exert life-shaping influence. God can use your strength. God can use your humility. God can use your resilience in difficult situations. But whatever you do, he says, don't be Mr. Smug. Don't be Miss Smug. Don't be all superior. Don't make politics the most important thing in your life, as opposed to letting your faith be the most important thing. Let your conversations, he says, be filled with grace, just seasoned with grace. Don't you love that? When you're in that book club, and when you're with the other school moms, be gracious. You be numbered among the gracious ones, and Christ will use that. When you let the fruit of the Spirit shine and let that influence flow, God will use it in some surprising ways. Nancy Burnett is one of our members here. In fact, she works in our church office, and she and her husband Sean serve faithfully in our church. She sat down this past week with Eric Fridge, and she talked about how she came to be a part of our church and the influence that played a role in her becoming a part. Please listen.
Why am I at First Colony? I'm here because of a woman named Pam, who worked with my mom on the Colony Meadows PTO. They became friends, and they went to lunch all the time. She encouraged my mom to visit First Colony, and mom did and started going to ladies' Bible class with Pam. Pam also encouraged my mom to get baptized, and she did. Pam attended my wedding, and I started attending ladies' Bible class with Pam and mom. When I had my daughter, Hannah, Pam insisted that I use her daughter's baby furniture. I cannot say enough words about Pam. Her approach to life can be outlined by listing the fruits of the Spirit. She was every one of them. The really cool thing about that last statement is that I actually have a homemade craft hanging in my guest room, and it lists the fruits of the Spirit, and Pam made that. This wonderful lady impacted my life and did lots of great work everywhere in the community. The reason that I'm at First Colony Church of Christ is a wonderful woman named Pam Kaiser.
Thank you, Nancy, and I salute the influence of Pam and Nancy's life, and I salute you, all of us here, with God's help, can be numbered among the gracious ones. And one more scripture, please, from Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all. Notice all who call on his name. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And now the scripture continues to build. Pay close attention. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring, whether by going or by sending, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Folks, listen carefully. When it comes to missions, there are only three categories of people. There are the goers, there are the senders, and there are the disobedient. If you don't participate in the sending or the going, you are disobedient to the authority and to the command of Christ. And that's why it's simply one of the priorities of our church here. Now, I want to say a brief word to our younger people. I'm not excluding anybody that would be beyond this age group, but I want to say something specifically to those who are younger. Some of the hardest work you can imagine is to engage in cross-cultural missions, to go to a place that is not your home turf. God may be calling some of you to start praying about that and preparing yourself. Would you consider giving your life to world missions? I'm going to ask you to begin to be open to a significant opportunity for God to use your life to influence the world for Christ. Would you pray about it? The most important thing we can ever do for all of us is to pray and then be attentive to the leadings of the Holy Spirit. God may have some plans for you that you've never dreamed of. And if you'll be open and prayerful, excuse me, about a significant change in your life, God may use you. Missions needs goers. Missions needs senders. I'd like to ask this church, financially, will you continue to step up so that we can hold the ropes, if you will, for all of our mission works with faithfulness and dependability? There are some things money cannot buy, but money can go a long way in foreign missions. And in just a moment, we're going to receive our special missions offering. But one more time, would you give your attention to the screens to get sort of a highlight of some of the mission works in which all of us together are partners?
From my very first trip to Haiti, I was overwhelmed by the visual evidence of poverty. But at the same time, I was totally captivated by the children. They are so loving. And I continue to go because this ministry follows the model that was set up by Christ. He had compassion when they were hungry and fed them. He had compassion for their sickness and healed them. And he had compassion for their need for God, and he taught them about the love of God.
Greetings from Imbarara, Uganda. My name is Theron Hutton, and I'm a missionary here along with my family. We live and work among the Ankoli people. Our ministry is centered around an idea called Community Health Evangelism, or CHE for short. Many of the problems people face, such as poverty, sickness, and hunger, can be best solved and addressed when communities come together to use their local resources, their God-given talents and abilities, and they work together to solve the problem. As CHE teachers, we train locals who live within those communities. They, in turn, teach people in their homes and in groups about holistic, Christ-centered health. The CHE teachers in the communities learn to facilitate a process where the communities learn to work together and are empowered to use their own resources and God-given abilities to solve their problems. We emphasize practical solutions to real, everyday problems. All areas of life are addressed, such as agriculture, business, stewardship, illness prevention and cure, and care of children and families, among others. All of these teachings are Christ-centered with the aim of bringing about transformation of individuals and communities in a way that brings glory to our Father in heaven.
Smith. I'm a cardiologist, a member and deacon at the Pleasant Valley Church of Christ in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I have been working in Haiti since 1984. And over the last several years, we've developed a farm where people have come to learn appropriate agricultural methods.
I teach them how to grow more food, or to maintain their own soil, they have their own good garden, and they can feed themselves and improve themselves.
We have worked over the last 4 years, and we have 120 people enrolled in a very successful microloan program.
With the money they make, they can send their children to school, and they can feed their family. You know, in Haiti, we are poor. We know that. We don't need people to hand out, but we appreciate people who work with us as a partner.